It's time to step into the more that God has for you. This is Eunice Lai, and I would like to welcome you to today's episode of Beyond the Building with Laura Perino and Debbie Keever of the Beyond Women's Conference.
Well, welcome back to Beyond the Building. We are in our last week on our series on dreams. And Debbie, it has been so much fun, to talk to amazing guests this month, but also just to sit in Joseph's story and really reflect on our own story as we look at the concept of dreams in the Word. I have to tell you, and I think I was telling you this before we started recording today, is that as we've been talking about dreams, God's been giving me dreams. And so I definitely want to get that dream journal out there and start writing things down, because God is constantly speaking, and we can't limit the way he's going to speak to our hearts in different seasons of life. And so I'm excited for what I've been learning as we've been going through this. And as you've been listening along, we hope that you are also asking God to speak to you in dreams and seeing what he would have for you as you do.
And part of that early discussion, I mentioned to you, Laura, I have not experienced as many night visions as Trish was calling it, like those night dreams. I've actually experienced more like visions when I'm awake, you know, maybe when I'm taking time to just meditate on scripture or powerful worship times. I just sit on the floor and just listen. And I have a lot of things documented, details, right? The same journaling, the detail-oriented journal that we've talked about, I've done that over the years, but for visions during the day. So I said, we should have dream vision journals, like not just nighttime ones. Like, what is God speaking? Ultimately, it's God is speaking to us through pictures, through something we're seeing. And so I think I'm going to include the things that I've written. But again, to your point, they're like in random journals over the years. I think the value of putting them together is important, because those things I have revisited, I can still see them in my mind's eye. You know, that God spoke something, and I want to go back and revisit some of those, because some of those details, they did come to pass. And it's like, there might be more to it that God's continuing to work out.
Amen.
But just your title for today, Resistance to Your Dream. I feel like saying, girl, that is so true. Because, and we know that anytime God gives a dream, or if you want to say a vision, right, or direction, or like a desire for something that he wants, you know that the enemy is going to come right in and try to discourage that. And he's going to put some resistance in front of us. We've seen that again and again in the Bible, where God speaks to someone's heart and the enemy comes and speaks a lie, twists it around, tries to stop it, tries to steal, kill, and destroy. And that goes for the dreams.
Yep.
It's no different for a dream. So I can't think of a story in the Bible or in my life where God says that the enemy is not going to put resistance. In fact, if you're really not feeling resistance in your life in areas of spiritual growth, it makes me wonder, are you spiritually growing? Are you on the track that God has for you? Or are you so comfortable that Satan's like, I don't need to worry about her?
Yep, that's right. That's right. And I think it is so true that there's going to be resistance anytime God gives us a dream. In fact, I was reading a little bit, and I read something that I've paraphrased because I honestly cannot remember exactly what it said. But it said a God-given dream is going to have resistance, right? It's not like it might have resistance, but when God gives you a dream, you can expect to have resistance. Mm-hmm. And as we are sitting in Joseph's story again today, we know that Joseph had a dream, more than one dream. And I love how clear the word is when we open it up and we start diving in, because the word dream is used so many times in Joseph's story. It's like God is clearly highlighting here that there is something about dreams that I want to say, right? And he shows us through Joseph. In fact, if we start in Genesis 37, and we're in verse 5, it starts off by saying Joseph had a dream, right? And then in Genesis 37, just 4 verses later in verse 9, it says Joseph had another dream. I mean, this was like two big punches. He had a dream. He had another dream. This is how God wants to start this story off, so that we understand the importance of dreams and the dream that God gave to Joseph.
So this dream that we talked about last week, if you recall, he shares it with his brothers and then second again, his brothers and his father. And it did not go well because he's sharing this dream with men who are already hating him underneath the pressure cooker, right, of jealousy that's there. Mm-hmm. And we went back to, his father said, go check on your brothers. They're shepherds. They're in they're watching flocks in the fields in Dothan. Now, that's an interesting place. It's mentioned twice in the Word of God. Now, the other time, it's here. And then it's also in 2 Kings 6. Elisha is in Dothan, and the enemy has encircled the city. And Elisha's servant is terrified. And Elisha asks God, open the eyes of my servant. And when he does, the servant sees there's this angel army surrounding the city outside the enemy. So it's not just what you can see. It's what's in the unseen place. Mm-hmm. It's in the place in Dothan where the unseen becomes seen. It's a place where, I mean, there's evidence that God is moving in the unseen places. And this is Dothan.
Amen. That's right. And I did a Bible study years ago on Dothan and what was going down in Elisha's story. And it was really one of the probably most impactful Bible studies for me personally that I taught, because it shows the truth that the real story is happening. Resistance, we can see, the real story is happening in what we can't see, right? Mm-hmm. And so here we're talking about Joseph, and he has a dream, and he's going to have resistance. It's interesting because resistance is usually what you can see, and right, the dream or God's provision and protection is usually what you cannot. But another key point here is in Genesis 37, verses 19 to 20, I love this. The brothers are out in the fields. They see Joseph coming their way. And listen to what they say. Here comes that dreamer, they said to mm-hmm. each other. Now, what I love about that, Deb, is that Joseph becomes known for his dreams, mm-hmm. right? Whether he told the right guy or he told the wrong guy, he becomes known for the dream that God has given him, to the fact that they don't even call him by Joseph or by brother. He is now called the dreamer, that dreamer. And so, I mean, that's pretty big.
And they're negative. That's a criticism there.
It is.
They're like mocking him. Yeah,
that's right. This is resistance. So in a place where people are rising up, calling him that dreamer, it's so interesting that God has a plan that they cannot see what's going to happen, because they go on to say, like, come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns and say that a ferocious animal has devoured him. Boy, these guys.
Yeah. Brothers.
Get rid of someone. This is crazy. I know, right? And say that the ferocious animal devoured him. And then what? It's not, and then our brother will be gone, or, and then we might be the favorite. Mm-hmm. It's then we will see what comes of his dreams. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the brothers are not aware of the unseen presence of God. And they think that if they can kill the dreamer, then they will kill the dream.
So then it continues on. They don't kill him, right? They decide, let's pull him out of this hole. Let's sell him. Let's sell him in this caravan that's going to become slaves in Egypt. Because if we can enslave the dreamer, then we can enslave the dream. But man, they still don't realize that the Joseph knows that if you cannot stop God, what he's going to do. Joseph keeps trusting him. Joseph keeps being faithful in the midst of this, in the midst of the resistance. Joseph, again, doesn't see the whole picture, how this is going to turn out, but he's being obedient in the moment. He knows what God showed him. He doesn't understand why this is playing out like it is, but he's being faithful to trust God in the moment, because you cannot stop what God intends to do. So when God gives the dream, whatever the resistance is that comes against it, you cannot, whether you're trying to kill someone or enslave someone, you cannot stop the move of God.
That's right. And that's so powerful. And I think it's interesting because you hit on a really good point there. Joseph trusted in God when he couldn't see God's mm-hmm. provision and protection in the middle of the resistance. And it's kind of like, I look at that and I would say, how do you know? How mm-hmm. do you know Joseph trusted in God? How do you know that he didn't, just go there bitter and grumpy? The rest of the story, like, the proof is in the pudding, right? The rest of the mm-hmm. story, we see a man who is not fighting back when the negative right. happens against him. We see a man who surrenders knowing that he's ultimately surrendering to God. And so it's a very different response than the brothers are responding to a negative situation in their story. So we can really see Joseph's level of trust, even as a young guy, all those years prior. So as we stop here for a minute, and we're talking about resistance to our dreams, we're just going to look at two things that could be resistance to our dreams, or the dream that God has given us, or the vision, whatever that may look like. I see with Joseph's story in the dream, I'm sure, I'm guessing, but I would think that Joseph sees this dream and he clearly knows that this is like the fathers and brothers as the sheaves and the stars. And he's thinking, well, clearly like this has to happen in Israel because this is where the family is, right? This has to happen around here. And then all of a sudden he finds himself being taken to Egypt. His circumstances have changed. He is no longer in close proximity to the sheaves and the stars, right? He's no longer in that zone. And so as he's being driven away, it would be really easy for Joseph to say, wait a minute, God, mm-hmm. this isn't the circumstances. Mm-hmm. I'm not living the circumstances that I thought I was going to be living when this dream came to pass. So clearly the dream has either been like majorly altered, or it's just not going to come to pass, because with what I thought you were saying, it can't happen in these circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so I think for us, that when God puts a dream in our heart of what he has for us, or even the warning dream that Trish was talking about the other day, or whatever it might be, when God gives us a dream, something to do for him, it's so wonderful. What a blessing. It's easy for us to say, well, wait a minute. Like, I mean, for me, right? I had whatever the dream is that God put on my heart, or the call. When I moved to Franklin, I was kind of like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, this was all supposed to happen in Delaware. Mm-hmm. And yet God was like, the dream is not changed. The dream is not even moving, right?
Right.
The circumstances do not add to or counteract this dream. And so it's easy for us to think that changing circumstances can be evidence that our dream isn't going to come to pass. But we see in Joseph's story that changing circumstances cannot nullify or change the dream that God's given us.
That same time that you moved to Franklin, the dreams that God had given me were of that season of transition. So you and I both left staff positions very closely timed to each other. And I stepped out of a staff position and out of a secular career and started what I believed was God's call, right, towards the dream he had given me. And then like the rest of the world, everything changed with COVID. And so in my head, my circumstances were looking like somehow this doesn't make sense, right? And yet God had resources I had no idea about. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, there were so many ways that God used that period of time to change the way we've always done things. Mm-hmm. To launch out into something new. Shoot, this podcast is the mm-hmm. it's the same thing, right? You and I've had a dream of speaking together more than just once or twice a year at a conference right, together right. where God just said, okay, so we're going to change some, we're going to move Laura miles and miles away. We're going to keep you locked in your homes. Mm-hmm. And why don't you start a podcast? And so mm-hmm. I just look at these things like, okay, the resistance and the circumstances is one thing. And you and I both can look back on those dreams and say, wow, God, you have plans we did not see.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
But the other piece of this is that the people who are around you, they're not always aligned with what God is saying either. Mm-hmm. I mean, Joseph's truly, his family was not. He shares the dream. They mock him. They come up with the name Dreamer, which we love, but he, you know, mm-hmm. that was meant mm-hmm. to be a ridicule. Maybe he's hearing those words like, ah, oh, here comes Dream Boy, right? Like, and you can get discouraged.
Yeah.
So not only are your circumstances discouraging you, but the opinion about some other people can discourage you too.
Yep. Yep.
We need to value the opinion of the Father.
That's right.
More than anyone else. Otherwise, that's a form of resistance. And you know, you can kind of stand up against the naysayers for a little while, but if you have to listen to them over and over and over and mm-hmm. over and over again, or you live with them.
Yeah.
Right. Then it starts to wear on you a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So from these two things, right? Circumstances that change and then people's opinion. What I think about that, and I think is a good thing for us to remember, is if we think that our dream is dependent on the circumstances, or if we think that our dream is dependent on other people's opinions, then we're going to see resistance to our dream as the end of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're never really going to win against circumstances, right? And
no.
we're never really going to win
or
against
opinions.
People's opinions. It doesn't even make sense. All we need to be sure is that we're aligned up with the word of God. Mm-hmm. And so when we try to make those the determining factor on if the dream is going to happen or not, we literally are putting ourselves in a place where we're going to think the dream is dead and gone. And if we come to that place where we recognize that the dream isn't dependent on whether people like it or you're in the place you think you need to be, but the dream is fully dependent on the dream giver, then mm-hmm. instead of seeing resistance as something negative, we're actually going to see resistance as evidence that God is mm-hmm. on the move, because the enemy always rises up when God is on the move.
Mm-hmm. Because you keep moving in Joseph's story, and he arrives in Egypt. It says right away that the Lord was with Joseph. Even though the dream hadn't come to fruition yet, the Lord was with Joseph. And I just want to throw this out there, because Joseph, this is this evidence where Joseph, he continued to align himself with where God was moving, because God doesn't just, jump in and save the day with somebody who's just not walking obediently, walking righteously. Like Joseph, whether he's in Potiphar's house or later in the jail or later in authority in Egypt, he continued to do the right thing. He was doing the right thing in the fields, giving a report about his brother. He's doing the right thing in these different places, even though these circumstances were far from, what he really wanted. Why was the Lord with him? Because Joseph was living in a way that was in alignment with what God had for him. Amen. And that's pretty big deal. So Joseph gets put in high places of authority in Potiphar's house and in the jail and in Egypt. And it says that everything that he touches, anything that he's part of, finds success. And there's that word again. He finds favor. I'm sure there's some brothers out there cringing if they could only know, how many times there was favor resting on Joseph, even after they sold him.
Interesting, though, because he gets to this place where God is with him, and praise God for that, right? That's ultimately, we know he's with us when we go into all of these different situations. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And he's rising to the top, and then boom, Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like more resistance to the dream. He's lied about, and he finds himself in prison with the situation with Potiphar's wife. She speaks a lie against him. He's put in prison. And I just have to wonder at this point, because do you ever feel like in your story sometimes, and I think that everybody listening is probably like, yes, we feel this way. But do you ever feel like sometimes, oh my goodness, like things have just gone from bad to worse?
Yeah.
Like, I just can't. Have you ever said, I just can't get a break? I mean, I think we say it on a regular basis, right? Until we turn our eyes up to the mountains from where comes our help, or whence comes our help. We can get into that place where we're like, I just can't catch a break. And that's kind of where Joseph looks like he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now he's thrown into prison for a false accusation. It's instead of getting closer to the dream, and he's just, his situation actually looks like he's getting further away from the dream. But this is where we have to interpret the dream, again, according to what God says, right? Because again, if Joseph at this point had started to believe that the dream or God's plans for Joseph were dependent on circumstances, I'm kind of thinking like he probably would have just gone to bed and said like, enough.
That's done. Yeah.
No more dreams, or give me another dream, because this dream, how in the world, God, is this now going to happen in prison? Like, how much mm-hmm. more are we going to put up with here as far as resistance?
Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, he's in a jail mm-hmm. and you are hearing more about his interactions, dealing with the warden, dealing with the prisoners, but you're not hearing about his dreams mm-hmm. at this point. It's like there's a lot of verses about a lot of other things. Is he still Joseph the dreamer?
Mm-hmm.
Has his dream been forgotten? I mean, there's plenty more reasons to feel that way, because he ends up mm-hmm. in prison. And while he's there, God shows him kindness and Favor, there's our word again, rises to the top, but you're not hearing that initial dream that he was 17. Those dreams, you're not hearing about that at this point.
I can't wait to talk to Joseph someday. I want to hear all the scoop. Like, how did you feel about your dream when you were in this place or that place? Or, you know, when did it come back? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But I just feel like there's so many questions I can't wait to get the answers to when I read God's word. So he's in prison. He's now the leader of the prisoners. And technically, while the people are not on their knees bowing down to him like his dream was happening, he is over people. And so he's an authority over people. So technically, people are doing what he said, right? We might say bowing down, not physically, but in their will. And so it's interesting. Like, sometimes I feel like we don't know what Joseph was thinking it this way, but I wonder if there might have been this. Well, maybe this is it, right? Yeah. The circumstances aren't exactly the way I thought the dream was going to go down, but these guys have to surrender their will to me. And so perhaps this is it. Perhaps the sheaves were actually the prisoners. And perhaps the stars were actually these guys I've met here in the prison. And I think there's an interesting point there too, because A, we don't have to make the dream happen, right? And I think so. And we also don't have to try to, what's the word I'm looking for? We don't have to try to just say, well, this must be the dream, just so it looks like the dream happened, even though it wasn't the way God, you know, try to protect the dream. Like, well, no, I must have misinterpreted it wrong. This must be it. It's not really what God said, but it'll be fine for now. Like, we try to maybe compensate is the word, to try to make it sound like, because things haven't worked out the way that we thought they were going to work. And so sometimes we get in there and put our own spin on it. And I feel like that could have happened here. I don't know that that did happen, but I do think that that sometimes happens in our lives. Well, where I am is just fine. You know, we all, of course, should be content in every circumstance. But even if I haven't seen what God has yet, maybe this is just it. You know what I'm saying? And I think that Joseph could have been tempted to go into something like that too.
That's why I should have gone back to his dream journal and said,
yeah,
what exactly did I write down? You know,
that's
did I
right.
really, were they actually
that's right.
bowing or were they
that's
just
right. That's
resisting?
Right. That's right.
You know, what did it say?
That's right.
I mean, the fact that there's resistance to the dream, the fact that the dreamer was imprisoned was actually evidence that the dream was not stopped. Remember, the resistance comes with the dream. So there's still resistance. There's still a dream.
Amen.
And in
that's
fact,
right.
The thing that's kind of ironic is it's not the dreamer who's having dreams. It's the prisoners, right? So now the prisoners are having dreams.
Crazy.
And they're like, we need somebody to interpret these.
Crazy.
Does anyone know anyone who knows anything about dreams? And Joseph goes, that is my middle name.
That's right. And the dreamer. That's what they used to call me when I was a kid. And so enter the cupbearer and the baker, right? Quite a crew.
Yeah.
Two people from Pharaoh's household, let's say, and they find themselves in prison for different reasons. They're assigned under Joseph. And on the same night, oh, I love the details in God's word. In chapter 40, they both have dreams. Different meanings, different dreams. And Joseph asks them to tell him their dreams. And then Joseph interprets it. One of the individuals will go back to the palace in 3 days, according to the interpretation of his dream. And the other one will be killed in 3 days because of the interpretation of his dream. Now, Joseph asks the first individual who will be going back to the palace to please remember him when he sees the Pharaoh so that he can go back to the palace as well.
So let's just add the domino effect of resistance because at this point, Joseph gets forgotten again. I'm sure he's like counting the days, waiting just to be called up to Pharaoh's court, right? Because surely he's going to remember to bring me to the surface. But no, he's forgotten. And this is a lot of piling up of resistance. There's people that are making fun of you. There's the circumstances. There's the pits you're being thrown into. There's the lies that are being spoken against you. And now you're being forgotten. Mm. So the dreamer was forgotten. But remember, it's resistance. That means the dream was not forgotten. The dream
Amen.
Continues on. It's easy to feel like they got forgotten just because they're not being fulfilled at a certain time frame. That was your time frame. Remember, he was 17
That's right.
God gave him these dreams. So now he's
That's
getting
right.
closer to the age of 30. Remember, Trish talked about write down your dreams, because when you feel like you forgot them, go back and you can say, wow, what exactly did I write? and remember the dreams.
Yep. Yep. Amen. And as the story comes to a close, in chapter 41, there is another dream. Mm-hmm. And Pharaoh has a dream, and then Pharaoh has a second dream. I love how so many people are having dreams in this story. It's just amazing. And so Joseph is finally remembered, and he's brought out to interpret the dreams. And he says, or God speaks to him about this dream, that there will be a famine, but Pharaoh will have part in providing food. Actually, part of the dream was that there would be plenty for a certain number of years, and there would be famine for a certain number of years, and Pharaoh would have part in providing the food for the nations. And in chapter 42, in the middle of the famine, a father of 12, right? 12. Has a hungry family. Mm-hmm. 11 now living in the house with him, but a father of 12 has a hungry family, and he sends 10 of his sons back to Egypt to find food. So the 10 sons of Israel find themselves going before Joseph and, let's say, bowing down, right? In mm-hmm. submission to this individual who is favored, who is higher than them, and who has control over who gets the food.
Oh, Joseph is so good.
I know. Now it's like it's starting, mm-hmm. but listen, it's starting.
But it's not there yet.
It's not there. It's 10, right?
Yeah. And what was the number? The number
they
wrote 11. In their dream journal was 11. Yeah.
Exactly. And so the 10 sons of Israel find themselves bowing down before Joseph, the man who is now second in command to in Egypt and in control of all the food, and they have no idea what's going on.
Just keep going. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces on the ground. All right, that's not like, let me just nod in respect. That's kind of like those she's falling
that's
down.
Right, that's
as
right.
Soon, but this is, listen to this, Laura. As soon as the brothers, Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger, and he spoke harshly to them. Mm-hmm. Where do you come from? He asked. From the land of Canaan, they replied, to buy food. Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they didn't recognize him. Are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Then he remembered his dreams.
Amazing.
Then he remembered his dreams.
Amazing.
And he's like, oh, like, yes. It's like, keep a straight face. Keep a straight face. Because exactly what God said was going to take place is taking place.
Yes.
It just was not in a location that Joseph saw coming. He could never have imagined it. But in this moment with 10, right? 10 bodies going down.
Yeah. It's amazing. And ultimately, right, Joseph maintained his position when everybody came back, right? Ultimately, they are all bowing down to Joseph as the leader there. But the story ends for us here with Joseph sharing with his brothers who he was. And in Genesis 45:3, he says, I am Joseph.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I kind of wonder if he's thinking, I am the dreamer. Right?
I wonder if he goes, do you remember the dream? Do you remember that dream?
Yeah. I'm thinking at that moment, everyone is going, woo, baby.
He probably showed discernment and said, this is probably not the time to say that.
Yeah, exactly. But he says, I'm Joseph, basically the one that you sold away. And here we are in a different place. Same people, different place, different circumstances. Man, he was the one who heard from the Lord in a dream what would be. And he followed it through in the hard times and in the good times, right? In the pit and in the prison, in the palace. He followed the Lord and believed God for his dreams.
Yeah. And that one moment, their eyes were opened and they saw the dreamer, and they recognized they're the ones that resisted the dream. And yet right in that place, the grace that was there through Joseph to say, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. He didn't rub their nose in it.
Amen. That's right. Resistance to your dream is not meant to stop the dream. I think as we start to wrap up here, right? Resistance to the dream is actually meant to spur on the dream,
mm-hmm.
to keep us on our toes, to keep us on our knees even more.
Yeah.
To keep us ready and to keep our hope alive, regardless of what the circumstances look like around you. If God has put something on your heart to do for Jerusalem, as it says in the book of Nehemiah, then he's going to see to it that the dream comes to be.
Mm. Laura, as we leave this month of dreams, I know this was a really fun journey for you and I. We want to encourage the listeners of Beyond the Building to join Laura and I in asking God, like it says in Joel, that he will pour out his spirit and there will be the visions and the dreams. And God, we want to hear you communicate
Amen.
Those dreams to our hearts, the visions
Amen.
And dreams. We want to hear them. So be prepared, be positioned so that you're expecting to hear, ready to receive.
Amen.
And be ready to write and be ready to like keep tarrying, lingering in his presence. God, what do you mm-hmm. want to speak to me about this?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want me to share this with, or nobody, right? Mm-hmm. Like, help me just be discerning about that. And I really, as you document, as you start to see some of these pieces come together, God started answering prayer and dreams fulfilled. Those are the things that you write down because like you said, mm-hmm. it builds hope.
Mm-hmm.
It builds hope, not in everything just works out. You know what I mean? At the end.
Amen.
No, it's in the God. He knew what was coming.
Amen.
You know, he knows coming in your past, that he's working it out in the present. And isn't that a confidence booster as we go forward? God, you know what tomorrow will bring.
Amen.
Speak to my heart now so that I'm ready
right.
for what you have. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining us in the month of March on our series on dreams. We have a whole new series coming out in April. We hope that you will check us out next Monday morning as we launch into a brand new study deep within the Word of God. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Have a great, great rest of your day.
God bless you.
We believe that God will use what was shared to encourage you as you step into the more that he has prepared for you today. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, remember, you were created for more.